Thank you. I'm here again. Well, this is going to be an amazing time and moment. So I just want to introduce to you five amazing women to come on stage right now as we prepare. So I would like to welcome Pauline Meza, Kirstine Harper, Candice Bay, Bryony Hamilton, and Denley Frecklington. Come and take a seat. This is amazing. Come and have a seat. You got waters and everything. Well, this is amazing. How do you feel being on stage? Well, this is such an honour to be able to host and to interview five amazing women they're just amazing in their own way. They're a mother, they're a role model, they're a mentor and companion. It's just such an amazing thing, you know. And so before I go on to the segment, I just want to maybe give you a little bit of moment to set to introduce yourselves. Denley.
That means me, apparently. Hi, I'm Denley Frecklington. I'm married to Trent over there, whose last name is also Frecklington. And I am not a mum, but I am here as a mentor, as to represent those women that wouldn't necessarily come today because they feel they can't. So, yeah.
I'm Bryony Hamilton. My husband Timothy Hamilton's up there in sound online. I have two special need children with autism. Yeah, that's me.
I'm Pauline Meza. I'm a mum of two adult children, so I'm also a grandmother. And that is a very, very special role. They are the light of my life.
I'm Kirstine Harper, and my husband Colin's back there, and my parents are here, and my in-laws are here, and my son Nicholas is upstairs in the sound room. I have four children. The oldest is Dominic, Renee is in Cairns, and Amy has just moved down to Victoria, and Amy and Nicholas are twins, so I have twins.
Hi everybody, I'm Candice. My husband's here up the back there, it's Richard, and my parents come here too. So I love them very much. I'm a mother of two. Amelia is three and Lachlan is one. And I'm also working full-time as a high school teacher.
It's amazing. As you can see, we have varied roles and circumstances, and I'm just so honoured that you would say yes to speak today and just share. And, you know, this panel is basically, you know, just because you're not a mum, there's no need to switch off. And if you're a man, husband today, no need to switch off, because every little bit I think we can glean and lean from some wisdom today that each of these amazing women are going to share. Well, you probably don't know, but I have also two children. I actually have three. I'm a stepmom to Zachary, who is serving so diligently. He's going to be 22 this year. And I have two girls, and Hannah is 13, going on 14. She's serving at the cafe. And I have also an 11-year-old, so girl, Gabriella. So life is full, but I wouldn't change it for a thing. So, you know, there's a quote by Jill Churchill that says, "There is no way to be a perfect mother and a million ways to be a good one. So focus on your good and give yourself grace." So I just wanted to maybe start off, Pauline. We've journeyed a long time. You knew me when I was 18 years of age. So that would be like 28 years. And, you know, your two sons, we used to be in youth group together. So this is such a special bond for me. And in each of these ladies here today, I have had the the honour and the privilege to be doing life with you in some way or another, and so this is special. So Pauline, I guess we could start with you. Tell us about your mum and what are some of the things that she has taught you that you want to pass on to another?
Right. My mum, unfortunately, is no longer with us. She passed away in 2007. But my mum was my closest friend. I was an only child, and I think the greatest thing that she taught me was to be a fighter. Don't give in to life's circumstances. Don't give in to ill health. You know, fight and keep going. Don't let anything get on top of you. You can win. And, of course, now I realise with God I can do that.
Yeah. So, Pauline, that's just an amazing testimony that, you know, you have a beautiful testimony. You have a beautiful story that, you know, most would not know. And you could write a book, I think. You could. So what's your go-to scripture when challenges come your way?
Okay. Well, I have two. The first one is Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Yeah. And, of course, the other one is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you for that. You're a grandmother too, right? So
yeah.
How many grandchildren?
I have three.
Three? So,
three boys.
What's your favourite thing to cook for them?
Probably spaghetti bolognese. They love spaghetti bolognese, but they also love it when we just do simple things like, you know, I say, let's do tacos tonight. Well, that is just so exciting, you know, that they can put in it whatever they like. So, yeah, just simple things like that. It doesn't have to be anything, you know, overly complicated. I think they just love it that Nana cooks for them.
Yes, yes. Nana loves, like, I love Nana's cooking. I mean, I don't have a Nana, but my mum, she's a great cook. Kirstine,
yes.
I'd love to ask you a question. So you mentioned before that you have four children and Amy and Nicholas are twins.
Yes.
One of each. So what's it like having twins?
I guess they always say, you know, double the fun, double trouble. But and lots of people said that when, you know, I first had them. It's definitely lots of work. Dominic and Renee were only 17 months apart anyway, and I had lots of people say, oh, my kids are 16, 17 months apart. It's like having twins, but it's not. because when one's a little bit older, they can walk a little bit, they can understand things you say. When you have two babies at the same time, they both need the same things at the same time. But
yeah,
it was lots of fun. I had lots of great support from the, you know, my mother-in-law and my mother and other friends. And I think it's just, it was just lovely to see the bond. And even being boy and girl, I think that was great because they had their own friends, but they also are very close. And they're still very close. Even with Amy down in Victoria, she will ring Nicholas and she'll just watch him play video games and just to spend time with him. And,
yeah,
and they message each other and they'll send presents to each other and just,
wow,
gifts in the mail just to brighten their day. And I mean, the others do that as well, but I think they do still have that really close bond, even though they're boy girls, which is,
yeah,
really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a special bond, you know. Would you say that, are they strong-willed, all your kids? Like, are they strong-willed children?
Renee's probably strong-willed. Amy a little bit. But really, they're all very kind and thoughtful. And I think part of that is just a fairly big family. You know, you have to fit in with everyone else and you learn to do things for other people. And, I think they all show being strong-willed at certain times, but they also can temper it with lots of thoughtfulness and things like that. So,
did they ever fight? Like,
not really. I mean, when Renee was in a walker, one of those walker things with wheels, she used to chase Dominic and he'd cry and say, "She won't leave me alone." But you know, as bigger kids and they played together a lot, the older ones would play with the little ones. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, there's a little bit of bickering, but not really. I feel very fortunate that I do hear lots of families where the kids fight lots, and I think it's so grateful we didn't really have that.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. You mentioned before, obviously, Renee is in Cairns. She's mm-hmm. a teacher, isn't she?
Yes, yes.
And Amy is in Victoria. Mm-hmm. So what's it like to have a child move out of home? Obviously, we have Renee first, and then, you know, a few years after that, then
Amy.
So how was that
yeah,
for you?
Yeah, I think Renee had a really tough high school, and she was bullied a little bit, and she lost a friend to suicide in grade 11, so it was really tough, and she had lots of mental health challenges. And so when she finished uni, which was, I didn't know that we'd really get her through uni, but somehow we did, and when she finished uni and said, I'm going to Cairns, I'm going to take a job up there, I was like, oh, how's this going to work? You know, we were really supportive and we really helped her through, and I thought, oh, that's going to be tough. But she said, no, I feel like I need to make a new change. And she got a most beautiful housemate. God just sent her someone. She said, this girl's coming, and she said, I've stalked her on Facebook and she's posted a Bible verse, so I feel like this is a good sign. And anyway, they end up going to church together and Bible study groups and just really good friends. And but I would speak to Renee almost every day. I would ring her on the way to work and she would check in with me, and because she's still on her own up there, so I think she just needs that check in all the time, and we find out how our days have gone. I was very much like that with my own mother when I got married at 20, and I'd still ring her every day and check in. Amy, because she moved down, her boyfriend's in the army, so she moved down there with him. I talked to her a lot, but and it's been really hard with COVID because we didn't get to see her for 7 months, and of course I've never been away from any of my kids for 7 months before this. But she's got someone to kind of offload to as well. So I think it's a little bit of a different relationship. But we just spent last weekend down with them, and it was just amazing to see her and to see how happy they are. And I think that's all you want is for them to make that move and then be happy. And you can still support them from afar. We're so lucky these days with technology that we can still check in, still talk to them, FaceTime. Last weekend we kind of got everybody up on Skype in four different locations and played an online board game basically, and it was amazing. Everyone's talking over each other and laughing, and Dominic had the dog in the picture and changing the backgrounds, but it was a lot of fun, and I think that's one of the things to try and maintain that family connection feeling. And sometimes we'll even go out for a family event and one or two will be missing, we'll still tag them as if they're there with us because they're still part of that family, and just little things like that to try and make them feel still with us, I guess.
Such a great, you know, connection base, and you obviously try and do that very well, and hats off to you. Candice, you are a Young Families Director. You've been a creative arts director for, over 10 years? Over 10 years, and your parents are here? No? They're here. And such an amazing legacy you have. And, you know, for you to transition in that role as a Young Families Director, and obviously having two small young kids, you know, I just wanted to ask you, like, in the early years of life, a child's brain is incredibly spongy and receptive. You know, a child's character and personality are almost completely formed by the time they're 4 years of age, right? And children watch and learn from those closest to them. And what things were you taught well that you now include in your own parenting?
Hey, Mom. Got her head down.
Can I see?
I feel like I was really lucky growing up as a kid because Mum was a high school teacher my entire childhood. And I feel like because she was a high school teacher, she was at the forefront of everything teenager. Mm-hmm. So I did feel like because she was teaching teenagers, she was able to understand me a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And Mum pushed me really, really hard through school. It was like pushing a truck up a hill, did you used to say? But I'm so glad she did, because everything that she taught me in high school still serves me well till this day. And yeah, I think she took a real invested interest into my education, and I think that's really, really important. That's something that I want to take on from what I was taught when I was little.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Was she strict?
Yeah.
Yes.
But I am too. So, yes. Yeah, I've taken that on as well.
I'm nowhere near as strict as my mother was.
Is there anything you've added that you believe is important to raising little ones for you?
Yeah, I think what you have said and what all the mums would agree with me and what Tony said during the baby dedication is that little children watch everything you do, and the parent is the most important person in their life at that moment, especially when they're little. So, yeah, I make it a point to remind myself to conduct myself well in front of my children. So that's talking about other people. It's how I react to certain situations, the language I use. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I'm continually telling myself, filter that first, that little one's watching you. So you really are a role model, and remember that you are.
Yeah, that's very, very true. And, you know, and especially in a community of church, you know, some people, like for me when I was... you know, the little kids were young, I used to just, they're just so social and they just so absorb everything, and everyone's an auntie, everyone's an uncle and everything, but you've got to have that protection mechanism as well, you know. Yeah, it's so good. Okay, let's move on to, I'd love to ask the Mum of the Year. Can you tell me about an experience raising special needs children?
It has been incredibly difficult, I won't lie. My son's now 13. He's still in nappies. He still doesn't talk. So I'm still doing that toddler stage on and on and on. He can be quite violent, so I get beaten up quite a bit. Yeah, it's been a real journey. It really has. You get to really appreciate the small things, like when they say, "Mum, I heard that at five." Both my children haven't said, Remy talked when she was five, Blair still isn't talking much. But it is incredibly rewarding when they do new things. They eat a new food, or you're able to go out somewhere and there's no meltdowns or there's no issues. We took my son to a Wiggles concert on the weekend for his birthday. Biggest kid there, of course. But he had an absolute ball. And I think things like that, where you see the delight in their face, is the most rewarding. It really is, yeah.
Bryony, we just see a snippet of, you know, what you put up on Facebook. And I just think you're amazingly resilient. You know, most people won't know the struggles and the challenges, but I think you do parent very well, and by the grace of God, you know, you are, you know, he's given you these two, because I believe you have that capacity for compassion.
It's God that's gotten me through it all. It really has been.
Yeah. So, like, that's just so vulnerable to be able to talk about that sort of thing, you know, when you feel like, you know, being hurt in the journey, and, you know, hats off to you, Bryony.
Thank you.
So special. Dan, we've worked together in the office for over 3.5 years.
Yeah.
So we get to kind of talk and share a little bit about life's journeys and struggles, and we share, we cry, we laugh. You know, we make
a lot.
Yeah, we make. We do get our work done, by the way, don't we?
Oh, sorry.
Is that someone said something? No, she's a lot of fun, Den. And, you know, I want to ask you a question. You know, you being a sister, and you're an amazing role model. You mentor people, people that you may not even know. Like, you mentor my daughter. Hannah, she's sort of like, she comes over after school and it's a Tuesday. She always goes, "Oh, Denley," you know. and she really loves you, and both my girls do. So she watches, and you know, she's got that bit of sassiness that she got from you too. The cheekiness.
I'm all about the sass.
Then you're a sister, and you're a daughter. What are the qualities that you admire about kids that you see these days?
I admire their... They have a lot that us as being older, obviously, but we never had. And it's not to say that we missed out, it's just that it's very different now. And the opportunities that they have and the encouragement that they are often given to pursue those opportunities. And I think that's, if I was going to be envious, that's what I would be envious of. But they're just brilliant to, you know, technology alone. They pick stuff up and it's just, yeah, I admire that so much, because how can you get your little heads around that so quickly? And it just, it happens.
Yeah, it does. So how has your relationship with your mum shaped you as the woman you are today?
So remember how I'm all about the sass? My mum's pretty sassy. Spicy, we call it. So, but she has taught me a lot in that, in the good ways of not being a doormat, because I think when you are younger and growing up, you're learning and you have to... You're learning and you tend to, you know, oh, they're an adult and therefore... do what people tell you, especially back then, you know, this was 35 years ago, growing up. It was not to be walked over or to still be kind and courteous and all of those things, but there is a tact there that needs to be to not get your way, but to get across what it is that you need in relationships in general.
Good. Yeah. Jen, I know this is a bit of a vulnerable question, but you know, if you can tell us a little bit about your experience of not being able to have kids naturally, how did you deal with that? Because I know there will be many people here or online also going through the same struggles. How do you deal with loss and unfairness and finding opportunities to love and nurture? Which you do very well.
I can hear my dad talking right now. Well, who said life was fair? You know, so it's not, you know. And I was brought up with that mentality of, well, this is what it is, and that's just it. Live your life. So I have never felt like I have missed out. Yes, I have been sad at times or disappointed at times, but I have never ever felt incomplete. I have never ever felt that I am not, you know. I am complete, and the only thing that has got me through that is God. You know, He is the one, you know, Christ in me, you know, and I hate that I'm crying right now. I really hate that. Where's the sass? Come on. I've never really felt like I've missed out. Even in disappointment, I've never ever felt that. And you know, some people, they like to, oh, you don't have kids, and they cock their head to the side and say, I'm sorry. And it's like, well, don't be, I'm not. You know, So God has given me so many ways that I can mother, and your daughter Hannah is one of those, just one of those examples. You know, there's things that she can't talk to you about, and she comes and talks to me about.
Absolutely.
You know, and I would hope that anyone, you know, if you know me well enough, you know that I'm quite an uninhibited person. Pastor Tony calls it inappropriate. I call it sassy or spicy. You can talk to me about anything, absolutely anything. It doesn't mean I won't tell your parents about that, but if it's needed. But, you know, he has given me so many ways to mother and nurture and mentor in so many different ways to so many different women, children, teenagers. Don't be sorry for me.
Yeah.
Don't be sorry for me because, I'm sitting on this couch with these amazing women and these amazing mums, but that is not who... Yes, it is in your DNA, but it's not who you are. It's it's your job.
Yeah.
It is not your identity. It is not,
right.
You know, Christ is my, you know, he has given me, I am me.
Yeah.
Bryony is Bryony, you know. So don't think that you don't deserve to... I deserve to be on this couch like anybody else. And so do those women out there that haven't come today because it's Mother's Day, because for whatever reason you have decided to have not to have kids or you can't have kids biologically. Don't feel guilty for that because there is now no condemnation. You know? So even if you've decided not to... I've had my little say now.
Then I honour you and I... count it a privilege to be your friend.
Yeah.
Celebrate you today. And well, you're not working with me now, so how am I going to do that? And can't I just throw rocks in next door? But anyway. So I just want to honour you. And that's really vulnerable. Can we just give Danley a... There's something I want to read out to you from a pastor who wrote this as a reminder that for all women who are unable or not to have biological children. Here it says, I'm thinking of all the women who want to run and hide when they hear the words Mother's Day. Yes, you. The pain is real and sometimes it feels like there is a bright spotlight on our empty hands as we walk into church on this flower-filled day. The truth is, we don't have to live this way, and sometimes we need friends to challenge us and to help us step into the light and live instead of hiding in the shadows. The truth is, as women, if we desire is in our hearts to be a mother, there is never a season where God will not bring someone into your path to nurture, shape, and love because of Jesus. We are all loved and purposed to love others, and your mother heart is bringing a harvest you'll see. So if you cry and worship this Sunday as once again God reminds you he's got this, so be it. Let it flow. Church is our safe place, not a parade of perfection.
Yeah.
So let your beautiful tears remind you that those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. You are celebrated, you are seen, and your bravery to live with open hands and an open heart is worth the fight. You are whole. Let love be your identity and joy be your strength. Your love for others has made you a mum all along. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pauline, we'll go back to you, and I want to talk to you, I want to ask you a question about what does the mother-child relationship teach you about the heart of God?
Oh, goodness. With God in your life, it's much easier, I think, to parent because you've got someone to go to, you know, someone to pray to ask for wisdom. And I think that makes life a little bit easier. I was a single parent from the time Cameron, my eldest, was just before his 10th birthday and Mitchell was 6. So I became a single parent. And it's difficult, as a lot of you would know. It's difficult being a single parent. But with God, it wasn't that hard. And, well, I just know because I had God in my life, I managed to get through it and hopefully did it quite well, hopefully.
You know, I take my hats off to all the single parent, you know, that are online or even watching in this house today because I don't know about you, but with two parents in the household, it's hard enough as it is, you know, working and doing whatever you need to do. But
I think single parents are just the most amazing, resilient, resourceful people I have ever met. And yeah, I'm just thinking about all those people today and how amazing you are, and I just want to celebrate you today. So. You know, we were talking about how Renee and Amy, obviously, you know, are interstate now. And I guess I want to ask you, what's the biggest challenge you've had with your kids living away from home? You know, you talked about mental illness before.
Yeah. We've had some really tough times with Renee. We've had times where we've had to dash up to Cairns because she was in hospital. We've had to bring her back for months on end and do very serious kinds of therapy and treatment. And I think it's so hard. You feel so guilty when you're not right there. And even though it's not a choice I made, you know, she made the choice to move, but you still feel like I should be there. And I think you have to just put that aside and say, well, this is like... You know, you said this is what it is, and you go with that. And you know yourself that I've sent many a quick message, please pray, this is happening. And same with Cheryl and to my mother-in-law and my mother. They're my go-to people that I say, this is happening right now. She's having a panic attack before school, or she's, you know, things are bad or things are difficult. And I just draw on whoever I can, whenever I can. And I just remember, especially when things have been really bad, Annette, my mother-in-law, has said to me, sometimes, Kirstine, when you feel like you just can't do any more, that's what we're here for. So you're even too tired and too exhausted and too scared and worried to pray, that's when we take over. And that's just so comforting. And that's why I think you need a church family, and you need... a group of people, because you can't do it on your own.
Yeah,
it's scary and it's hard. And you know, at one point Colin said, I'd rather pay for this therapy than pay for a funeral, and it got that dire.
Yeah.
And so you really need people on your side, people that you know really care what's going to happen to them and to your family, even though it's not their own family. And so that is a challenge. And even with Amy, you know, they've had some tough things happen with Mitch and the army, and just stuff that happens. And it's hard because you can't be there to give them a hug. And I think, you know, you realise when that distance is there that a hug is worth so much.
Yeah.
But like I said before, all we can do is keep trying to open that communication and make sure that they know we're praying. And I'll tell them, Nana's praying. Both Nanas are praying for you right now, you know, and they know that, and I think that helps.
Yeah, so good. And, you know, Pastor Tony alluded on this before in a baby dedication, that it takes a village to raise a child. And I think one of the greatest, you know, joys that we have is that we have a community of people that would care and actually genuinely care for our children and to call on support. So never, like if you're sitting here today, never, you know, think that it's a burden. Like, we have a prayer team here at church that would constantly pray, intercede on your behalf, you know, with God. And it's just an amazing thing to have that support, you know. And It must be comforting, like you said.
Absolutely.
Before.
I remember when we first came to the church and we'd only been here for a few months, and I think we'd missed a few weeks in a row. We'd been away and then someone had been sick, and I think it was we'd missed 3 or 4 weeks of church, and I just got a lovely message from you saying, hey, we've missed you guys. Are you okay? Do you need anything?
Mm-hmm.
And I just said to Colin, this is what we've always needed in a church. This is what I needed to know, is that someone would say, I haven't seen them, I hope they're okay, and check. And that's, it just worth so much.
Yeah.
That message was just amazing. So,
thank you. We do try and do that for each and everybody, because we care. We love and care. It's not about, you know, checking in roles or whatever, but it's genuinely caring to see where you're at and if there's any struggles that we would love to help you with. Candace, you know, you talked about, you know, with having young children and obviously balancing, you know, ministry and, you know, work and everything. Was there a point in time where you had some challenges in your health as well?
Yeah, I cried a lot, didn't I? I remember sitting with Pastor Tony and Maz a lot in tears. I think for me, like, having babies was definitely the biggest thing that's ever happened to me in my life. And it was just, I think because my husband and I were married for 10 years prior to having children, I had this independent life. It was all great. I can do whatever I want. It's flexible. It's great. Yay. You know, you can have your friends over when you want. It's all great. And then having a baby really grounded me really massively. And I think I probably had postnatal depression when I had Amelia, but didn't acknowledge it. It was like, nah, I'm fine. Stiff upper lip, I'm good. And just put on a face and do what I usually do and look fine at church and everything's fine. It wasn't fine. And then when I had Lachlan, it grounded me even more. It was just like, oh, and it was just this slow stripping away of all selfishness that was in my heart. It was just, oh, it's hard. And it just strips it away. And you're just like, I can't think of myself anymore. I really, as a parent, and this is my choice, but I choose my children over everything, including myself. And I had a lot of people say to me, oh, you're independent, you'll be fine, you know, like you can just slot them into your life. I didn't want to do that. I wanted them to be my number one. So it meant this slow stripping of selfishness. And you know, my gifting is to sing and to run a music team, but that's my gifting and that's about me at that point. And yes, I had that struggle of how do I serve God, because obviously that's still important and needs to happen. So, yeah, we started our young families group, and we're trying to encourage families in our church to enjoy connection with their children and then enjoy connection with other parents as well, because being through that depressive state, you know, you really need other people around you who are going through the same thing. You know, find people that you can strengthen yourself with. And, you know, when you don't want to talk to anyone else about it, sometimes it just takes one other mother who's been through it before to just sit with you and say one thing, and it's like this light bulb moment just occurs. But, yeah, it's been so hard, but I really feel like I'm coming out the other side. And I've found a different purpose for myself in church and ministry and all of that as well. And that has all helped me to just lift out of that state where you're just like, what just happened to me? Like, whoa. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Candace. That's really vulnerable to you. You know, we talk about, you know, postnatal depression and as a mother, but I think we, you know, men have them too. And I think sometimes it's a taboo that we don't talk about these things. And, you know, is this helping anyone at all? Like, you know, I hope, you know, that this vulnerable, you know, the couch, the panel is not just so that we can tell you all the struggles and everything, but it's actually vulnerable and helps you, gives an insight that people do feel and go through some things that you will never know. And like we talked before about a community of people just being there. And it's just so important that even when you feel like you want to isolate yourself, can I encourage you, don't. The last thing you want, and you would say to this, you don't want to pick up the phone or don't want to reach out, because you being an independent woman and...
I hid for a year. I really did.
Yeah, you hid that a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and I shouldn't have.
Yeah, and sometimes... And that's a hindsight for you, isn't
it?
And so that's just so important. So encourage one another. Like in Hebrews it says, you know, spur, you know, find ways to spur and encourage one another in love. And so if someone reaches out to you, don't push back, don't retreat, but just, you know, be open. Candace, what would you say that, you know, you're going through postnatal depression and some mental health struggles? Like, what do you think is the best way that someone can support their mum or, you know, see someone going through that? Like, what do you think in the people here? Like, how can we support people?
Yeah, I had people who were super understanding of me when I was a bit disgusting to them. So that really helped. Like, when someone's not in a great mood, don't instantly attack back. Think, okay, hang on, there's something going on there. And people were gracious to me about that. You got to see your GP. I know that's super practical, but that it needs to be practical. See your GP and get them to help you. When you have a baby, there's this amazing amount of mental health support that you can access for free. You don't have to pay any money. You know, you go to your doctor, you fill out a form, and you get yourself a great psychologist. If you need to know the name of one, I have one. And someone who can see you through that. And if you need to take medication, take medication. And then you've got the whole God thing on the other side of it all as well. So you've got this, like, these two-pronged approach, I call it. You know, you pray, you get people to pray for you, you go to church, you turn up, even if you're not loving it. Turn up. And, you know, make yourself do it, be part of this community. I am still on medication, and I believe it helps me to be a balanced person. So it's okay. It is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good.
You know, we tend to think that medications is bad for you. I mean, you grow up in a church where they would say, you know, you're a Christian, you shouldn't be depressed. You know, I heard people say this, or, you know, you're supposed to be strong. You know, God's got you. Yeah, we know that. But medication also help, and God have people, doctors and nurses, to be able to do that. So there is no shame, and I'm so thank you for sharing that. That is so good for people to hear. Dan, were you talking about identity before, which is such a big part in a teenage world and everything. So what do you want to, you know, what do you want to teach, you know, kids about identity?
Big one. Identity, I suppose, for me is, it's all in Christ, because Christ in me, I am enough through Christ who strengthens me. You know, when you find yourself in Christ, that to me was just the biggest eye-opening, you know, heavens parting. It was just amazing in that to me, that, you know, wherever I go, I am Christ in that area. You know, my workplace, which is not the greatest, brilliant workplace, in terms of, you know, out in the world, and I'm trying to say this diplomatically, but it doesn't work with me. I am Christ in that place. And, you know, I kind of talk myself up in the morning. It's like, oh, God, I don't want to go in there again. Okay, let's do this. And, you know, God, I give you this day, and, you know, let me be you in this place. Don't let me react the way I want to react to people and things and places. You know, it's aged care, so some people don't understand what they're even saying or how they're reacting, so you can't take that on. So it's difficult. I just think identity for young people, read your Bible, read it in every single version you can. If there's something that just stands out at you, just read it in every different version. Just go, what is that? That's what I do. I'm just like, this is just weird. What's these stupid stones? Be curious. And you will find God will just, he will answer you. If you have a question, if you seek it out, he will answer you. Google that stuff, you know, Google it. And just Find it. It is there. It's all there. It's all there. God is just, is so relevant. Even today, it is so relevant that he will answer you in the way that you can understand. And I just think that is, if you want to find yourself, then that is the place to do it.
Yeah, So good, Dan, because identity sometimes kids these days, they rely on, you know, TikTok or YouTube or anything. There's all the technology now, like, you know, they look at Pinterest and, or how do they dress and how do they move and everything. And I see that with my kids. And I'm just thinking, you know, no, your identity is not what you see on the screen, but your identity is in Christ. And I think that's just, you know, something that, you know, that we need to teach children in that way. And yeah, that's so good. We've got a couple more questions and, you know, I just want to wrap it up soon. But what is the one thing you want every mother and motherly figure want to know today? So, Paulina, what would you want to, and one thing you want every mother and motherly figure want to know?
That every stage that you go through with your children is a stage. It will pass.
Wow, that's so good.
It might be, you know, it starts when they're a baby, they don't sleep and da da da. That passes. And then they become a toddler and get into all sorts of mischief. That passes. Then they become 42 and 38. And they still get issues at times. But it passes. But the thing is, you're always a mum. You will always be a mum.
Wow, so good.
To the minute you die, you will be their mum, but you will get through it. You will get through it. And children are such a blessing. So just look on them as a blessing and just enjoy. Even though it might be horrible at times, enjoy it, but know that it will pass.
So good. Such a great wisdom, Pauline. Bryony, what would you like to pass on?
The biggest thing, I think, is not to parent from other people's eyes. Parent... Just do what you know is best. Don't listen to all the other stuff. Don't be feeling like you're doing everything wrong every day. If they're alive at the end of the day, you have done your job. Well and truly.
Yeah. You know, it's important about voices, isn't it? You can hear, you can listen to every voice, but the voice that you need is that here. You know, you're the mother. You know, not everyone else. So, Dan, what would you like to pass on as a motherly figure? What would you like to pass on to others?
Spice it up.
What? What was that?
Spice it up.
Spice it up, yeah.
Have a bit of sass in the right way. There is a right and a wrong way to do that. You know, be a bit cheeky, but not disrespectful. But... Yeah.
Have fun with your kids.
Have fun with your kids. And just, yeah, I'm the fun aunt. Like, I am the favourite aunt everywhere I go. So, yeah, just, you know, remember that you, as a someone that, you know, I get to watch all of this. I get to observe and hand back. But, yeah, just... maybe, yeah, just have fun with it and enjoy the journey. Like what you were saying, Pauline, I notice as well the stages. And I've even said to my sister-in-law, you know, this will pass, you know, in that toddler stage, which seems to be so awful at times. And, you know, just it will pass. And, yeah, so I think just, you know, remember it's a journey. And even though I hate that word journey, it's a journey. But yeah, spice it up, have fun, and just, yeah, don't take it. Yes, you have to take it seriously, I get that, but you know, it's about enjoying your children.
So good. Kirstine.
I think the biggest thing I would say is really build relationships with your kids. Yes, when they're younger, there's lots of disciplining and boundaries, but you can still build relationships. I remember Dominic was, I don't know, 8 or 9 or something, and I learnt all the Pokemon he had on his poster, and I'd get him to test me on them because it was something that he was interested in and it was something to build. I've been to every Taylor Swift concert with Renee. That may be for me as well. But, you know, it's, you know... I'll go running with Amy. I play lots of video games too, and with Nicholas. But it's just finding something that they're interested in that you can also relate to, and being interested in it, and then you have that connection, and that's your little thing. And there's plenty of little things along the way, and things change all the time too. But we play lots of board games, and we deliberately built this house with the big kitchen table down one end of the house where there is no TV near it. And the whole point of that was for dinner, and we would often spend, when everyone was still at home, we would often spend an hour to an hour and a half over dinner. And to me, that is what has built the relationships that we have with the kids. And so I think work on that, because all the other little things like awards at school and whatever happens and captains and those things are great for a minute, but the relationships that you have will last forever. Yeah.
So good. Such wisdom. Candace?
I just want to build on that, because you do need to understand what makes your kids tick and be there for it. And I want to say this to every single person in the room, mother, father, whoever, mentor. Understand that every single little person and person you're mentoring has their own personality.
Yes.
And understand introversion, extroversion.
Yes.
Understand what makes people upset is different to what makes you upset.
Mm.
And what how people react might be different to the way that you would react. So when, you know, for me, when my child is being naughty, why is she doing that? What is she trying to tell me? What has happened today? You know, take it a bit deeper, especially before you discipline them. Did I, you know, contribute to that situation? Have I pressed a button? You know, like, think before, because usually there is something a lot more behind it. So, yeah, understand personalities and how to work with people, including, you know, babies all the way through up to adults.
That's so good. Well, just one more question and then we'll wrap it up. And, you know, I think for me too, I just wanted to say that, you know, you've got to parent out of faith and not fear, and know that there's the seasons and all of that. Because, you know, like when I was a young mother, like I was scared to let any, you know, the kids out or do anything, because I'm so scared that they're going to, you know, make a mistake. But I think they need to make a mistake so that they can learn.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so that's one of the things that I continually learning. And for each of you today, I've taken some wisdom and gleaning from this. So I'm so thankful for you all. So last question. If your kids or people that look up to you were to describe you to me, what would they say?
Looking at me. I would hope that people would say I have empathy. But yeah, I think people would say I'm very straight shooter as well.
Good.
So strict. Yeah.
Kirsten?
My kids would all say I'm insane. a little bit crazy. And do everything at 3 million miles an hour. But I think they would also say that I care about people. And I think that's what I try and impart to them. I remember things about people because I care about them, so I hope that's what they think.
Yeah. Pauline?
I hope that my children, in particular, would look upon me as a role model, that, you know, I've been a good influence in their life, and that I'm a kind, caring person, and that I'm a good listener. That's what I hope.
Bryony?
I would hope that my kids and everyone else would know how much I love them and I care about them, and hopefully they think I'm patient, but not always. But, yeah, that's probably what I'd hope for.
Ben?
I hope that they would tell you, well, anyone that I've mentored anyway would tell you that she's spicy, she cares,
yeah.
And, yeah, she's pretty awesome.
Well, why don't you look up to the big screen, and I want to show you what others have said about you. Look at the big side screens.